Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to Calypso Cigar Review Podcast. I'm Brandon Luna.
I'm Randy Rankin.
And today we have some special guests with us.
Yes.
Who do we have today? Jay Lundy.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
And Tom Poehler.
Hey, guys.
Only the second Poehler we've ever had on the show.
Yes, yes.
Really? Exactly.
Your dad was another one? Your dad was on the third or fourth episode we ever did, and we're on 214 now, so it's been a long time. Yeah. So every 210 episodes, we'll have a Poehler on.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, there's a plan. That's the plan. 214 Poehlers.
So. Yeah, so exactly.
That's about that many of them. Yeah. So we're doing something cool today, guys. We're reviewing something that's not out yet.
Brand new.
Brand new. It is the Acme. And when you hear that, a lot of people think of different things. You think of, you know, cartoons from the old days. You think about, but Acme is one of these names, though. It actually has a very rich history to it, especially in Cuba. And you have a story for us, don't you?
Yeah, we've did a lot of research on that and found that that brand was originally established like in 1898, and you know, it was made in Cuba and distributed up in Pennsylvania, I believe in Philly. Then about in the mid-30s, it was abandoned. So we found three different logos, and actually one of the logos, the last logo they used in the 30s, is the one that we're currently going to, you know, replicating and using in on our bands.
Oh, nice. Cool. So what are we smoking? I think you're smoking something called the Route 66.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. So what's the concept behind the brand and the names and everything? Give us that.
You know, Acme, actually, surprisingly enough, I thought Acme meant generic, you know, from the cartoons and
right,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But actually, it, you know, if you play crossword puzzle, my wife was telling me, you know, you would know what it means. It actually means pinnacle or the top, like the best, you know.
Makes
and,
sense.
Right. So I was like, okay. And then that made sense why they used that back, you know, earlier, you know, in the turn of the century back then.
Exactly.
But then we decided, you know, we got Acme Premieres, which is going to be a San Andreas and an Ecuador wrapper.
Okay.
And both those are going to be our higher end. It's going to be more the Cuban style. But then we got the Route 66. Route 66 is more your everyday cigar. You know, the idea, the premise behind that was be going down the highway, and it's a cigar you could smoke one after the other, enjoy it, and be like, wow, you know, when you're done, you're like, I got to light another.
Yeah, you know? I got you.
Yeah, and then, you know, and on that, you know, Jay and I worked on the artwork, and Jay's done some really, really cool stuff with it. You know, you'll see some of these things at the trade show. You go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, so we, like you were saying, we were just wanting to, well, of course, first Acme, the Acme Cigar Company's pretty much a sister company of AKA Cigars,
right?
Which me and Tom are the owners of, and we have two new partners with Acme. So we wanted to do something totally different with Acme, new factory, new country, totally different blends. We've always liked to make sure that our blends are very unique and different from each other. And also, you know, from other stuff on the market, you know, because a lot of stuff tastes similar out there. So we had a lot of fun with this, and I think we came up with some really nice blends.
Well, this is the San Andreas, and I like this so far. It's got a nice flavor to it.
Actually, what's interesting about the people who are making this, now this is one of the guys I've known about for years. You guys know about it. The Oliva Tobacco Growers.
Yeah, right.
And they actually have a factory in Esteli, Nicaragua. Turns out it's the second oldest factory there.
Oh, yeah.
Since, like, 77 or 1978.
Wow.
And the guy who used to run it for him, you know, he passed away, I believe, last year. A guy named Frankie Ineza, an old Cuban guy. Mm-hmm. He did a lot of their blends. So I've known of this factory. We've always wanted to try and get in there because, you know, when we did the AK, we did it with Davidoff. Of course, you know, wanted to get the best tobaccos, most consistent manufacturer. You know, and how do you make a consistent cigar? Just have a ton of tobacco.
Yep.
And have it in reserves. Well, hence, you know, hey, we wanted to try something different. We went to Nicaragua because, you know, as well as we, I mean, you guys rep stuff from Nicaragua. That's very popular right now. So that's what we wanted to do. And why not go to the source? I mean, everybody buys their tobacco from Oliva. I mean, be it from Davidoff to General to Altadis to Fuente, you know, to my father, Pepin Garcia, to AJ, you name it.
Yeah.
All these guys buy from them. So we're like, you know what? Why not go to the source? And now we're working with Oliva Tobacco, which is a cool thing. They've got some great, great stuff.
Yeah, well, you gave me one a couple of days ago, and I really liked, or I guess last week or whatever, really liked it a lot, too. But it wasn't this one, though. This one's nice. This is different.
Wow, this is interesting. So Cold Draw, I was going to say, you were talking, but I didn't want to interrupt you, but Cold Draw, I got a real nice sweetness on this that you usually don't get, almost like, I hate to say it because it sounds, you know, so you're,
right. Yeah, go ahead. I'll tell you what I get. Yeah.
It's like marshmallow or something. It's,
you know, it's funny. I've been telling some guys, and I had to smoke two of them because the first one, about midway in, I'm looking at the scar, and I'm like, nah, I got to be wrong. Maybe it's something I ate. So a couple days later, I got another one out of humidor without telling Jay, because he's trying to guard him.
Yeah.
And I'm smoking. He's like, don't touch him. So I'm smoking again. I'm like, holy shit, it did it. Mm. Dude, it reminds me of a Rocky Road ice cream.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Marshmallow chocolate. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's the taste.
I mean, just on the cold draw, I got that sweetness. And it does have some sweetness on the start of it. Usually when you get that, you light it up, you don't get that. It's still there, but it's not as prominent. But it's interesting. It's just...
And what you'll like, too, is one of the things I've found that's more, I think, more prominent in Nicaraguan tobacco, and as well as, like, Cuban, you'll get this kind of a salty taste on your lips.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that cigar, as you get into it, won't start at first, but as you get into it more and more, as it heats up, you'll get that saltiness on your lips.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
And I've picked up, and people don't like, or people like this, I don't usually like it, but I'm liking it in this cigar. I'm getting, like, a chocolatey raisin taste to it, you know, and I'm not big on raisins, but in cigars I'm okay with it because it does add something, some sort of character to it, and I don't have to chew them.
Right.
That's why I hate chewing raisins.
Thing for you, you know,
exactly.
For sure. So, so let me ask you this because this is kind of an interesting. When you remember back phone books, right? You remember phone books? Right?
Oh yeah. Well,
you tell me phone books. Yeah. We're old enough to remember phone books. They don't have anything phone books yet. But when you look at a phone book, you know, you'd always go to the, like, I need a plumber, and you go to the plumber, and the first ones listed are going to be ABC, Acme,
double A one,
AAA.
So you guys have AKA, and now you have Acme. Is that on purpose so that when you go to a website to look up cigars, they're going to come up first right next to Fuente there?
Not necessarily for that reason.
Or AJ. Yeah. They could come up AJ, too.
Exactly.
No, it was, well, kind of like that. It was for our trade show directory.
Yeah.
So when you go to the front, it's A.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that was the idea behind AK, and then Acme just kind of worked into it.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why Arturo Fuente changed to A.Fuente.
I believe it. I believe it. So now you need to come up with something ABC for your next one.
Well, yeah, I was going to do. I was thinking of doing something like AAA-1 cigar.
There you go. Albus Pennington cigars or something. And make up a fucking name. And
well, it was funny because we were talking when we came up with Acme. We thought about also making that an acronym. Mm-hmm. And I came up with American Cigar Manufacturing Enterprise. Was what it would be if we had to use it as an acronym.
That's not bad. That works.
Yeah, that works. Yeah. Very cool.
Very cool. Very cool. So, so what are you thinking so far?
It's tasty, man.
Yeah.
Nice. It's really good.
Yeah, when we came up with the name, you know, Acme, we'd had that name kind of, you know, down for a while in our little book of notes and stuff.
Yeah.
We're, you know, thinking of some different names for the company. That one kind of came up, and all the guys are like, wow, that would be, you know, cool. You know, we can just do so much fun stuff with that. You know,
Yeah.
I, of course, looked up the trademark stuff, and there was no trademarks for it. And
that's crazy.
Everybody we talked to, they're like, really? Nobody's ever trademarked that?
That's crazy.
Cool.
Yeah.
You know?
That's weird, yeah.
We're gonna do some really fun, cool stuff with it. And we got some really cool stuff coming up.
Nice.
It's going to be start to post this next week also.
Yeah, you guys definitely went the direction of a totally like opposite direction than you did with AKA with these two. I mean, they're not the same cigars at all. I mean,
no,
you tell it's different tobacco, different style, everything.
Well, you guys know. I mean, you rep, I rep other brands, and everybody's got a different palate.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you know, hey, if everybody smoked the same cigar, there'd only be one cigar out there.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, we got to do something different from the AKAs. We're looking to get, you know, broaden our horizon with, you know, the customers out there and find something else for somebody.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. And we've been dying to, you know, do some stuff out of Nicaragua for several years now. So this was a really great opportunity to do that and to work, you know, with Oliva Tobacco Company and Noxa huge factory. You know, they've been, you know, giving us the red carpet treatment and working with us. So we're looking forward to doing some great things with them.
And I'll tell you guys, I mean, the opportunity is always available to you guys if you ever want to go down when we're going down. You know, get to really see Oliva Tobacco.
Yeah.
See how they do stuff. It's really
sweet. Well, I think I'm going in August. You guys are going to be down there in August at all?
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about August.
These guys have several buildings that are multiple football fields long that are just filled with tobacco.
Nice.
I've seen a lot of, you know, tobacco processing, you know, and these guys just take it to the outer limits.
Nice. Wow. That's cool. That's really cool.
Wow, we almost said the same thing.
Jeez, we haven't done enough shows together, so it's like we're like a podcast married couple, unfortunately.
I know, right? Jeez. Pathetic. So how long after AKA, you know, when you were doing it and you started getting successful with it, did you say we need to do something else? I mean, how soon after?
Yeah, it was always kind of the idea. Mm-hmm. The AKA was we're going to have cigars by AKA.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, okay. AKA is kind of our pinnacle line.
Right.
and then we're going to have stuff by AK.
Yeah, we were going to do some by AK. We didn't think we were going to do another company by AK.
Yeah, right.
Just kind of turned out that way, but yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun with it.
And that was the idea too. You know, with the two new partners we have.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, one of them. You know, you guys know Elliot Swede.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, he used to be VP of Phillips and King.
Yeah.
That
Elliot. You said his name the other day, but you didn't say his last name. I didn't realize that was the Elliot.
Yeah, that's the Elliot.
Okay, all right.
Well, that's the only Elliot I know.
Why I figured you probably know more Elliots than I do. But.
Well, the reason why, I mean, you know, he's got a lot of connections.
Yeah,
he's been in the industry a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's well connected with the government, you know, as far as, you know, being able to protect all our interests. So that's mm-hmm. what he's trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
But the number one reason, and it wasn't financially, was because he had the connection to this factory.
Yeah.
You can't just walk into this factory and say, hey, make me a cigar. You have to be by invitation only.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things I've been looking for, and I realized he had the connection, so we sat and talked.
Mm.
And then, of course, Elliot brought to us our friend Romario, who's huge in the music industry.
Mm.
You know, he's a big marketing and promoter
with
a lot of rap artists and country singers and rock and roll singers. And so he's got a whole different view on how to market products. That's kind of why we wanted to bring him into
that's
the fold.
Cool. That's cool.
Yeah, Rose worked with every major record label that there is for, you know, last 20, 25 years. And
wow.
Yeah.
He helped start jump, you know, the careers of, you know, Eminem and Mary J. Blige and, you know, a lot of the.
Yeah, I haven't heard any of these people. Who are they? Yeah. Who are these people? Yeah. Have they done anything?
You would know if it was Barry Manilow.
Yeah, Neil Diamond, I'm good. No, I know who Eminem is. Yeah.
So really, really cool thing with him, you know, we have some cool stuff coming up, but we're going to take a lot of the stuff that he's done for the music industry, which is going to be a totally new, different twist to mm-hmm. to the marketing in the cigar industry. Mm, you know,
gotcha.
So
yeah,
kind of going outside the box quite a bit. But
cool.
That's kind of what you got to do nowadays to get recognized, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things too. You know, you never know everything.
Yeah.
When we did AK. You know, Jay and I had a long talk. You know. Starting that off is like, look, there's going to be a learning curve. I mean, as much as I may think I know or you know, we don't know everything.
Right.
We're going to learn a lot.
Yeah.
And just like with AKA, and it's had its successes, and it's been, you know, very consistent. Davidoff's done a great job. But we did realize after the fact that, wow, there's some people who've been apprehensive because of the name American Kickass.
Mm. Yeah.
They're like, oh, you UFC fighters, what's your deal, you know? And we're like, oh, man, maybe
you're like Toby Keith.
Right, yeah.
Put a boot in your ass kind of thing.
Yeah. Everybody's like, yeah, maybe we're a little too edgy.
Right.
So, you know, with this, we decided, let's tone that down mm-hmm. and go more classic. Because that's one of the things, you know, Pete Johnson told me. You know, I rep Pete with the Twi, mm-hmm. so and we had a long talk about,
name
you know.
Robert.
Good. Right. So, anyway, so he goes, you know, on your next cigar, you might want to go more traditional,
mm-hmm.
you know, more Cuban. He goes, because people eat with their eyes,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're going to smoke with their eyes. Mm-hmm. And so I gave it a lot of thought and talked with Jay and the partners that, you know, this is something we need to try out. So mm-hmm. that's kind of why we changed things different for this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
No.
Very cool.
Very cool.
Very cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. So when did AKA come into existence? What was it, about 2010? 2009?
Well, it was 2010 when it was originally conceived, you know, when we had all the license and mm-hmm. everything.
Yeah.
At the time, Davidoff, the girl, or the people they had running the factory, screwed up the blend.
Yeah.
And it literally took them 10, 12 months to get that corrected to be able to get us product. So we really didn't come out with the product till 2011.
Okay.
What it had it 2010, mm-hmm. that's what it says on the website, because the website was up then.
Yeah. I just went totally off memory, so you got to give me credit I came pretty close because I was entirely off of memory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so like I said, then we came out in 2011. You know, in 2011, we came out with the Hybrid and Respect.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that, again, was learning curve.
Yeah.
You know, Jay wanted to come out full body, because he's a full body smoker. And I was like, no, we need to do medium, so we did Hybrid first. Jay wanted to do full body. Okay, fine, so we did Respect all a Harrow.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that was a real mistake.
Way to go, Jay.
Could not smoke that
good
cigar.
Call.
Yeah. He's got a lot of cigars to smoke, so you know, he's got lifetime supply now. So.
Right.
But
gotcha.
Then after that, then we did the Solace.
Mm-hmm.
Love the Solace.
I like the Solace. That's my favorite.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah.
And then after that, then we did the Maduro, you know, mm-hmm. which was more old school, the Nth Degree, mm-hmm. traditional Maduros from the 90s. When then at that point, we re-blended the Respect.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then last year, and that was actually in 2013, So 14, we didn't come out with anything new other than the new branding, the new package.
Yeah.
And then mm-hmm. this year it's been the Acme project. So each year you're kind of going forward with something.
So you guys both selling that? Are you both going out?
Yeah.
Because I give you guys credit. You guys are in every fucking store I go into, and you got shelf space like I can't believe. Yeah. I mean, so congratulations.
Well, thanks.
I mean, you're in every fucking store.
I appreciate it.
Good again, representation.
Again, that's because there's 214 Polars.
Yeah. That's right. That helps. That does help. Yeah, that does help.
I was in Houston last week, and this guy comes up and walks over to me because he thought I was working there. I was in the humidor, like, moving stuff around. He's like, hey, where are them Aka cigars?
Aka.
Like, what? He's like, hey, where are them Aka cigars at? That yellow one. I like that yellow Aka. I'm like, you mean AKA? He's like, AKA. It's spelled AKA, but it's Aka. I'm like, all right, it's right up here, man.
I purposely did it so people would read it like a monogram.
Right.
You know, not to read it a word.
Oh, yeah. Now, when I worked here, people would come in and go, you got those Cal cigars?
Yeah, Cal or Chow. And so,
Cal. See ya. Cal.
That's what they used to at first ask me at the factory. They'd, ¿Cómo es Aka? What is Aka? Mm-hmm. Like, so my Spanish wasn't real good. I was like, it's Americano. Then I'll use my foot, you know, kick you in your culo. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I have to tell my bull story because they haven't heard it, and our listeners are going to roll their eyes, but I'm going to tell the story anyway.
Okay.
Todd, we all know Todd. You know Todd Nance.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was in Nicaragua, and there was a group from Russia there. And this guy from Russia says, I want strong cigar. And Todd's like, here, and he gave him the bull because that's our strongest one.
Yeah.
It's and he goes, strong. So he's smoking, he's halfway through, and he goes, this is strong, like fist up dog's ass. And Todd's like, what do you do to your dogs in Russia, man?
Fist up dog's ass.
Fist up dog's ass. It's like, Lord.
But, that guy sounds like instead of running with the bulls, he's fisting the bulls.
Bulls, exactly, right. He's directing him.
Oh, go get that guy.
Yeah.
It's funny. Man. Well, jeez. So far so good, man. And you know, it does have that Cuban saltiness to it. It really does.
Yeah,
and I'm liking it. Yeah.
Oh, and that was the idea too. I mean, each of the blends are so different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, the Route 66 is your medium every day, but you know, you can just smoke it consistently one after the other.
Yeah.
Then you've got the Premier Ecuador, which is more your Cuban style.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very Cubanesque in flavor. And then the San Andreas is just a real rich. But medium plus, you know, style Maduro, very complex. And that's what's cool, too, about that one you're smoking, Randy. It has a double binder.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I believe it's 7 tobaccos in that blend, Jay?
Yes.
Yeah,
nice.
7 tobaccos. 4 fillers, 2 binders, and a wrapper.
Wow. Nice. That's pretty cool. Nice. It's nice. That's a good step.
Yeah.
What's the price point on these? We haven't covered that yet.
Oh, well, on the Route 66, the retail on the Robusto is $590. It's a 5x50. We're calling that one Hot Rod.
Nice.
So it has, you know, everything has to do
with
that.
That's a very good price point. That's a very good price point.
Awesome.
Then we have a Churchill 7x48. It's called Chopper. And that's going to retail for $640. Then we got Super Toro.
Nice.
That's a 6x54. And it's
big rig.
Yeah, that's big rig, and it retails for $690. And then the cool one is actually, you guys will see at the show.
It's a foresight
called Tandem. It's an 8.5x52, but it's double capped.
Okay.
We figured a way at the factory. You know, Jay sat down with them to figure a way they can roll the cigar so you can cut it in the center and it won't come apart. So you can smoke off either end.
Ah,
so we have a little strip of leaf that's right in the very center.
Mm-hmm.
So guys can either smoke the whole thing or they can
cut it in half.
Right.
And,
that's interesting.
Yeah, so you have two cigars
for the price of one.
Yeah.
Right, with one S chip.
Yeah. I was just gonna say that. Less S chip.
Less S chip. And the cool part was that, you know, you can smoke the whole cigar, like Jay said, and have a 2.5 hour smoke. We have two cigars for, you know, over an hour.
Yeah.
So now what you need to do is the Gatlin, where you get like one big wrapper and you put like 12 cigars in there and you just put one.
He's working on an idea similar to that.
So you have to roll it when you're smoking it. So,
so I mean, the idea, and that was actually Elliot's idea, and we eventually want to take that idea into the other blends.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to call it the Tandem, meaning, you know, two cigars, and probably do a Tandem Lancero, like an 8.5x42.
Damn.
You know, a little bit thicker Lancero.
Yeah.
In the Premier blends, the Ecuador and the San Andreas.
Okay. Nice.
So that way, if you want to smoke a long Lancero, or you know what, cut in half and tab two petite Coronas.
Yeah.
Is the idea.
Right.
Very cool.
Exactly.
Very cool. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back for the second, third.
We're going to talk entertainment news for a change.
Yeah, and some other cool stuff.
All right. Back.
All right, we're back for the second third. We're here with the guys from AKA and Acme. Got Tom Poehler over there, Jay Lundy, and I'm Brandon Luna.
Randy Rankin, and we're at Calypso Cigar Shop and Lounge in Richardson, Texas, as always, or as most of the time.
As most times, yeah. So we did go over a little bit of the line, but we still have some other ones we need to talk about. So we did the Route 66. What else you guys got?
Well, again, the Route 66 is a 20-count box.
Okay.
Now, the next lines up, like I said, they're more of our premier line. That's why they're called the premier.
Gotcha.
They're going to be in 12-count boxes. The boxes will be two rows of six. So they're like a little travel humidor, real nice, thick Spanish cedar.
Oh, cool.
You know?
That sounds cool.
Yeah. So, like, the Ecuador will be in a Rosado, you know, stained box. And then, of course, the San Andreas in a black, you know, kind of a satin finish, not your gloss.
Cool.
Now, we got only three sizes. There's going to be...
I like that. I like keeping it simple like that. Go ahead.
It's classic, though. Yeah. I mean, that's the way it should be.
Well, and that was the idea, too. I mean, you guys know, again, everything I do stems from the sale. Things we do.
Right.
And how are you going to get this on the shelf?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I see what some of these guys do, man. They're just shelf whores. You know, pigs. They want everything. I mean, good God, dude. Who's doing a 100-count box anymore? That's the dumbest idea. There's no room for it.
I know.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so we got the three sizes. We got the 5x50 that retails for $740.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got the Churchill, the 7x48 again, that's $790. And then the Super Toro, that's 6x54, that's going to retail for $840. And we're not doing that tandem size there. Again, we'll probably do the Lancero type shape tandem, you know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's just something, you know, we want to do that's more the traditional Cuban look.
Yeah.
Is what the, you know, the Acme is. And that's the one that actually has the original logo that Jay reproduced to put on the bands and stuff.
Cool.
You know.
So you do the art side of things for AKA and for this for Acme?
Pretty much. Well, yeah. I mean, I do a lot of the Photoshop work and all that type of stuff. Me and Tom, you know, both kind of come up with the concepts and work on
the graphics,
the art stuff, you know, and all
designs.
I'll get mainly all the structure, everything ready, and then Tom's got a really good eye, you know, for art and detail and all that, you know. So a lot of times he'll piss me off because he just nitpicks the shit out of it. But at the end, I mean, it really comes out looking great, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I kind of fight him on stuff, but I still know in the back of my mind, you know, I gotta you know, go with his eye on it.
Yeah, that's good. You guys are a good team, though, man.
Yeah. It works. Thanks. Yeah.
So where'd you pick up Photoshop? I mean, where'd that come from? Is that just from...
Well,
out of necessity.
When we first started with AK, you know, we were wanting to do some logos and stuff. I had a buddy that, you know, did Photoshop, and I was like, hey, man, you know, make me this or make me that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I started off making stuff like on PowerPoint or whatever the other Microsoft one is that you can make posters. And stuff.
Illustrator?
Stuff like that. So,
paint. He's there in paint.
But I was like, man, this isn't working, so I kind of give him my buddy a mess of stuff, and you know, and he'd do it, you know, and you know, we paid him a little bit, but not much because he's a buddy, you know. But you know, then he started getting busy. He's like, man, this stuff really takes a long freaking time, dude. You don't have no idea. I was like, man, just put it on your computer and go boom boom and do it, you know. And you know, little I know. So he actually you know, got me a good deal. I got the program myself and started learning his stuff, and that was a major learning curve. But you know, just pretty much over the last several years, you know, just putting thousands of hours into learning new things and how to do stuff. And I learned very quickly, too, that it wasn't just going boom, 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 and it's done, you know.
Yeah,
right.
Which after I got going, then Tom actually told me the same thing. Man, just put it on there and go boom, boom, boom. 25 years ago, I used to do stuff on it. And I was like, it ain't boom, 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 you know. So it was kind of funny how that.
Well, it's funny. Yeah, we'll sit there and I'll tell him, well, there should be some kind of little – click here or a cursor or something you can do. No. And I'll get on there. Oh, here it is. It's like, son of a bitch, I never saw that, man. I'm like, well, because I did, you know, and it was funny because I worked, I was a designer for a bunch of different sign sorts, and I had my own designing company. And I did stuff for like Texas Instruments. You remember when the Dallas Grand Prix was here? I did stuff for the cars and things. I designed out their cars for them.
That's cool.
So, yeah, so I did a bunch of program stuff on the earlier computers, like, you know, late 80s, early 90s.
Mm.
So that's why I keep telling Jay. So a lot of the stuff you're using, I was working on the, you know, the grandfather, the one that started all these, you know, programs.
Mm.
It's similar, but he's right. It's there's so much more to it now. But every now and then I'll go, no, there's got to be something here, and I'll just start screwing around with it. And I go, here it is. I go, now use it. You know, like I don't know what to do with it. Here, you figure it out.
A lot of times, well, especially with all the new Acme stuff, I was like, come on, guys, I you know, y'all got to give me some type of direction here. So Tom text me like 30, 40, 50 different pictures. Said, here, man, just do it.
Just an idea.
Do it like this, you know.
Yeah.
Give you an idea.
I mean, what am I going to do with 30 or 40 pictures? I'm looking at my phone, you know. But
yeah, it's amazing how much you can do, how fast you can do it, but also how many different ways there are to do things
in
any of those programs. Because my daughter's in class for that now. She's learning how to do Photoshop, and she's going to be, you know, a master at it, and she's going to classes for that shit. And I'll show her how I do stuff. I'm like, yeah, it's like this, that, and that. And she's like, oh, wow. I'm like, what? I'm like, well, that's really a stupid way to do that. Let me show you. I've been doing it this way forever.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
So have you worked on Photoshop?
Oh, yeah. I'm a photographer, so I do
You know, you got your layer up, right?
Oh, yeah.
Layer panel, and you can just pull down your guidelines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't know that when I first started.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, trying to put all of our AKA fonts and stuff. Tom actually made them on vinyl and stuff, designed them out. So I was putting them across. I was like, man, I want to make sure they're even. I'm like, shit, I don't know how to make a line on here like I used to do on PowerPoint and all that.
Yeah.
So I went on a PowerPoint. And I made a black line, saved it as a JPEG, and then I pulled it into Photoshop, and I knew how to take the white background off. I took the white background off, and then I pulled my line off. So my buddy that was doing the Photoshop stuff for me and was teaching me some stuff, he was over at the sports bar one day I was at, and he was watching me do this. He's like, what the F are you doing, man? I was like, I'm making me a line here. He's like, here, look. So he drags the mouse right to the top of the page and just pulls the guideline down. There you go. I was like, oh, F bomb me, man. I've been doing that for months and stuff. I mean, you know, just little simple stuff.
All the
stuff
time
like
you've wasted.
Amazing how much time you waste on doing things back.
Hours and hours.
Pass backwards.
See, I'm not an artistic kind of guy as far as visually. I mean, I'm more, you know, writing and stuff like that. And Matt would, you know, and Matt's a former architect or engineer. I mean, and you guys, we all know that. We know how detail oriented he is and things. And he'd come over and he'd be showing me this thing he did on Photoshop, and I'd be looking at him like, "Hey, that looks good, man." He goes, "No, I need some drop shadow here, and he drop shadow this." And I'm like, "I don't see any difference." Yeah. He'd be like, "This looks so much better." I'm like, "I agree, man. I agree. Good job." I'm thinking I don't see anything different there. It doesn't look any different at all. You know?
Yeah,
it's just the way people are, you know.
It's
you have your own vision in your mind how you want something to look like, and you know, but kind of funny. Yeah, I've never touched Photoshop. I'm not even going to try.
Oh, it's funny, you know. Like, thanks. Yeah, you know, Christian Arroyo, Yusuf Camacho.
Yeah.
He's colorblind.
Oh, actually, happy birthday, Christian. Today's Christian's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Christian.
July 5th. Happy birthday.
Yeah. But what's funny is, since he's colorblind, he can't see art. He doesn't understand art at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll show him something, he'll be like, that looks stupid. You know, and he's walking into the trade show with a blue sock and a brown sock. I'm like, now that is stupid, bro. Sorry, man. You know? The poor guy, he's colorblind. So, you know, when it comes to art, he's just like, yeah, I don't get it. Somebody else has to do it for me.
Right.
You know,
I worked, believe it or not, I worked for an educational company, and the CEO and founder of this company was worth over $100 million that he'd made in the educational industry. And he can't read.
What?
He's illiterate.
How did that happen?
He had dyslexia, and it was it was like one of the biggest forms of dyslexia. He can't read, so he has other people that, you know, explain stuff to him, and then he makes the business decision. And
that's crazy.
The dude's worth over $100 million in education.
Wow. Our education system, people.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Only in America.
Only in America. So trade show, you guys, it's coming up. Everybody's excited about it. I take it you guys are just, you're going to do like booth side to side, doing one big booth. What are you doing?
Yeah, we're going to do AK with Acme. You know, like Fuente Newman Raw Roar in Miami.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's five booths. Now, you know, I'm an independent rep.
Mm.
So I've got other companies I represent.
I was going to
you're going to bounce over.
Yeah. So what I tried to do was, you know, we teamed up last year at the trade show. Jay got this all set up, thank God. Mm. You know, knock on wood. Where, you know, he teamed up with George Rico and Robert Caldwell to commit to 20 booths.
Okay.
So right there in the back of one of the aisles, you know, it's Gran Habano, then it's AK Acme, and then it's Caldwell Cigars, and then the front of that aisle is Tatuaje and La Atelier for me.
So that's not bad.
Right, so I'm right there with everything.
We got a sweet spot directly across from Padron also. So.
Nice, Yeah.
I haven't even looked to see where our booth is. Have you?
Yeah, I've looked in. Okay. Right in the front, like you walk in, we're kind of right there.
Okay, well, that's
by Drew Estate and everything.
That's going to be loud.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah, there'll be a lot of hip-hop music going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I just envisioned you running around a little friggin' scooter or something.
I looked into that. Yeah, they don't have scooters or segways for the show. I was going to get
skateboard.
Some.
Yeah.
That reminds me of old Sal Fontana used to.
Yeah.
Haul ass around the show in his scooter, and one day he's actually hauling ass down the aisle, you know, and I'm kind of, you know, my head down, walking, you know, forward, looking at some paperwork and stuff, and there this, get the hell out of my way! He's like coming right at me. I'm like, oh shit, I had to like dive over into somebody's boot. You know? Yeah. So later that day, we get back and we're at the Camacho booth, and I was like, hey Sal, what's going on? He's like, do I know you? I was like, yes, sir. He's like, do I like you? I was like, yes, sir. He's like, okay, yeah, what's going on?
Do I like you?
No, you think I'm a son of a bitch.
Like, yes, sir.
That's why I tried to hit you.
Jeez. Do I like you? That's awesome.
Oh, it was funny.
I'm going to start saying that.
One of the last shows, Camacho, I guess, you know, been acquired by Davidoff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they had designed the booth up with all these pictures of Christian on a yacht, on his big boat, right? Wearing his, you know, his captain's jacket and his watch and all that stuff. And it turns out the whole premise was that kind of a knockoff of Jay-Z's cologne.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyways, but Sal pulls up in his little scooter, pulls right up to Christian. Christian's standing there talking to some customers, and he bumps into Christian. Christian's like, what, Sal? He goes, what the fuck? I thought we were selling cigars. Where do we start selling suits and boats and this shit, man? Come on, you know? And Chris is like, Sal, you can go. He goes, screw you, kid. Push him out of his way and get going. You know, that's how Sal is. You know? I love the guy.
That's awesome. Well, fucking Davidoff sells wine and watches and all kinds of shit like that.
Yeah.
You know? It's like,
yeah.
Geez.
Why not? Yeah.
You know.
It all. So, yeah, man, this thing's changed like twice already on me.
Yeah.
From that start where it was just really kind of like sweet and a little bit of pepper. Not real like black pepper,
right,
or anything,
yeah.
But super nice to the nose. Leathery, and now it's real sweet again. It's like, you know, like I said, it's like chocolatey and marshmallow. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You crazy. Getting that little saltiness on the lips.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
So this
yeah.
is mega salt here. I mean, this has got a lot of saltiness to it. I'm liking it.
Yeah, what's interesting too, that blend that you're smoking, Randy, the guy who helped us develop that blend is actually Omar Ortiz.
Oh yeah,
they had
brand
that Altidus does.
Yeah,
he does stuff for other people on the side.
Yeah. That's actually a good cigar for a budget stick. You
yeah,
know, relatively budget stick. Uh-huh. That's a good cigar.
Yeah, he's the one that runs their factory for him.
Oh, okay, cool.
All right, nice. So what did you guys do 4th of July? Anything?
Well, we worked for July 3rd.
Yeah.
We worked July 3rd.
Had an event. I said we were in San Antonio for an event Thursday night.
Where at?
At Club Humidor.
Okay. Yeah.
And with Scotty down there. And then we drove back. Well, I said we drove down there Thursday morning, drove back late Friday night. So
Thursday night.
Or Thursday night, yeah. So got back home. I got back home about 3 in the morning.
Oh, jeez.
Then we had to get up and do it again Friday all day at Elite.
Yeah, Kaboom Town.
That's right. It does the Kaboom Town.
I thought it was a really cool fireworks show.
Yeah,
Kaboom Town's awesome if you're ever in the Dallas area. Although I heard they shut it down. I mean, they were at capacity. They wouldn't let people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, after at like 6 o'clock, they were at capacity. They couldn't let anyone else.
People
in.
Just go like.
Really?
You could go like 5 miles out of that park in neighborhoods and shit and still watch all.
Yeah, but that makes sense because, we were walking around Kent's place and at Elite and then looking like, man, this isn't as packed as usual. Mm-hmm. I mean, the parking lot was filled.
Yeah.
But I was like, so that makes sense that they closed the town off.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. Okay, that's good sense. Okay.
Yeah,
but it's fun. It's cool. My brother used to, or well, still does. Always loves Addison. He lives in Addison, so he always gets an apartment where he can see Kaboom Town without having to go to it. But he'll invite people over for a party, and he just sit on his balcony and drink beer. He gets stuff catered, and he just watches fireworks, and he didn't have to deal with the mess down at Kaboom Town. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I live in Frisco, and I can see the Frisco fireworks, I can see the McKinney fireworks, and I can see the ones over at the stadium over there as well.
Oh, cool. That works.
For the Frisco Rough Riders.
So
I can see all three. Just walk out the front yard and go,
yeah. Yeah, one of the funniest things was that night was when we actually left, where we hit Dallas Parkway. I was going to take my buddy home. And, of course, there were... Like 500 yards up, we ran into to an accident or whatever.
Of course, yeah.
So it was completely shut down. So everybody's going about 1-2 miles an hour, and traffic's here and there. So this guy on this and his chick on this chopper pulls up next to us, and he's just up there. We had the ape hangers, he's just cruising, just a mile an hour and stuff. And he goes like he reaches back, waves his hand at her, so. She reaches in the side compartment, pulls out a flask. they're sitting there doing shots, you know.
Nice.
They ran out, and she actually pulled out a bottle while they were still going like a mile to an hour and refilled up the flask while they were
Wow. That's being prepared.
But, right yeah. There. Yeah. I was like, oh, man, y'all are sitting here right in the middle behind a wreck, and you're taking shots, you know. Going
Living the lifestyle, man. Living the lifestyle.
So what did you do in the fourth?
No, I had too many people at my house. I don't want to talk about it.
That happens. Yeah.
Well, I grilled a lot. I grilled like 8 million chickens and brisket and everything else.
You all had a better 4th of July than I did.
Well, so yeah.
Well, then we went to Ted 2 we were talking about.
Yeah, we're going to do movie reviews next segment, so let's talk about that then, because I got a movie review myself.
No, do you? So you went and saw that yesterday?
Yeah, well, last night, yeah. Because we saw the fireworks, and I was like, ah, the heck with
I'm done with that. Yeah,
We went to, Marcos.
Marcos, CW. We went over to his house.
And hung out there for a while.
Cool. Oh, Marcos. Oh, cool. I love Marcos. Yeah. I love Marcos.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, cookout, so. Yeah, that's kind of took it easy yesterday, Once in a million years, we get a day off.
I had Friday off, but I was in Houston. I had to drop my boss off at the airport and then drive home. So that was, it actually wasn't bad. I thought from Houston it was going to be a shit ton of traffic.
Yeah.
People trying to get out of Houston, but it wasn't bad at all.
Well, you know what? I noticed, I think this year, a lot of people took Thursday, Friday off.
Yeah.
So they were, stores I was talking to said they were slammed Wednesday.
Yeah.
So a lot of people were getting, taking an extended weekend. So yeah, Thursday and Friday wasn't so bad on the highways, I thought.
Yeah. We were struggling to see people Thursday. Most people were already either taking off real early or they were gone or whatever. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yeah, I found out at 3 on Friday that I was supposed to be off. I kept calling corporate, nobody's answering the phone, and didn't get any texts and any emails, and I'm like, are we supposed to be closed?
I even told you, I'm like, I'm off Friday. You're like, oh, I wish I was off Friday.
I know. I found out at 3 that I was. Anyway, well. But
do you guys have any more events before the show?
No, thank God we're done.
I've got one more before the show.
Yeah.
How about you, Brent?
No, I'm done before the show, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm gonna hang out here the next week. And a half.
We have no more events, but we're definitely not done before the show.
Oh no, we have to.
We got a million things left to do. But
oh yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah. You got to get everything packed up and trailered. Cross the T's and dot the I's.
That's it.
Okay, so I'm gonna ask you guys because you're industry guys. I mean, I'm the guy that sells the stuff, but you guys actually make and sell the stuff. So how do you get all your freaking cigars over there? I mean, what do you do to transport stuff to make sure it's humidified? I mean, how much of a process is that? Is it a pain in the ass or what?
Well, we actually have two, big travel cases that are made.
With wheels and stuff.
Wheels and everything. Everything that, all of our product, we actually, keep, in our humidor at the office, just right up until we need to pack it and ship it.
Yeah.
Most of the companies, they, I've seen over the years, they just kind of take their stuff and hand it out. But we actually take coolers or something with us to actually put all of our samples in. Also, and I just buy crap tons of those big Boveda packs that keep in there. So
yeah.
I figure if you got your one chance to make a good presentation and give somebody a good smoke at the show, it's probably better if it's not all dried and hard. And
exactly.
Crispy.
Well, you want a good representation of it.
Yeah.
How many cigars do you estimate you give out at the show?
I don't know. You give out so many at the show, but then you give a lot out afterwards at the bars and the parties.
Yeah. During the trip.
So during the trade show.
So yeah, probably at least 400 to 600 per blend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe more.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, put it this way: we're planning to bring 500 of each blend of the new Acme. So, be first to get some, guys. Hit me up at the booth or at the bar.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Cool. But but we got, like Jay said, we got those big trunks. We'll have a skid, filled with stuff. Usually we send stuff by UPS. This year we're gonna, because it's in New Orleans, it's not too far, so we're gonna trailer it. We got Romario's got a truck, and we're gonna trailer and send it down that way. But there's so many things involved. People don't understand what's involved with this show. I mean, unless you're doing the cigars, like there's a thing called dredge.
Oh my God, I was just thinking that we didn't know until our first year that we did the trade show and we had shipped all our stuff there. We're like, okay, we ship it. And they just bring it to our booth. That's the end of the show. They're like, okay, we need $2,500. I'm like, for what?
Fuck more. Yeah, we're like, what?
Yeah, we have dredge charges. I'm like, what's that? They're like, well, when the stuff comes, you have to pay us to push it to your booth. And I was like, You had two big trunks on wheels. You just pushed it over there.
That's $2,500. I'll tell you what. I'll do it for you for $1,250.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I was like, what the fuck? I was like,
but they're all crazy? Union guys. You have to do it for them. Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
That's
these trade shows, everything is union. I mean, you have to, of course, pay for electric for your booth.
Yeah.
You're not even supposed to plug in a light or your radio or anything. They have to come plug it in for you.
And charge you for that.
Yeah, charge you for that too.
Yeah. And then like Davidoff's Drage. You remember the Orlando trade show? It was that first show. They had that huge booth, you know, with the humidor and the truck and all that. And I was told their Drage at that show, because all they do, the Drage means to move from the back to your booth and then to move it back again.
Mm-hmm.
It was over $66,000.
That's a horrible.
Yeah. Imagine what everybody pays drayage. Everybody. You have to.
And you do not get a happy ending with it either.
No.
Yeah. It's a horrible ending. Give them your credit card and write that freaking check.
That's awful.
Yeah, so you got the drayage, you got the unions, you got the, you know, like we're doing that 10-foot wall again, so we got to pay to have that whole wall put up, and then all the emblems that go on it, and
all the shipping, to UPS it out there, to freight all your stuff out there back and forth, and
we bring a vacuum cleaner. They have a person that'll vacuum for you, and it's $100 per 10 by 10 square foot
a day, 125 something like that.
Yeah, it's true.
It better be a naked chick.
Yeah, right.
Someone in a French maid's uniform or something.
You know, if you want to eat plants, it's $150 a plant.
Wow. Jeez.
Yeah, the stuff they charge is ridiculous, man.
That's craziness. That's crazy. That's horrible. All right, so we're going to take another break. We'll come back for the last third and talk about other stuff. All right, so we're back for the last third. We're here with Tom Poehler and Jay Lundy. Of AKA and now Acme Cigars.
Acme.
Thank you. Acme.
Acme.
This is tasty. Very, very Cuban. Very.
Is it better?
Exactly. Oh, man.
Thanks.
So, yeah. But, I totally agree with you, though. Acme was like the cool. He always had the coolest shit to try and kill the Roadrunner with, but he always fucked it up.
Yeah.
It was on him. It was on him. The stuff worked.
Right, yeah. Now, he's always crashing the planes and the bombs. Yeah,
exactly. If he'd have been a wolf, he'd have been okay. Maybe it was a coyote, and coyotes are dumb anyway. So, what do you expect?
Exactly. Well, dude, and the whole point is, hey, if you caught him the first time, the cartoon's over.
Yeah.
I mean, what am I watching this for, you know?
Yeah, we'll segue into movies, but you ever see that movie called The Villain? Came out in the late 70s. And it was like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Kirk Douglas.
Yeah.
All that is a Roadrunner.
It is.
Movie, but it's a Western, but it's the same movie. Kirk Douglas is Kalilah Coyote.
Yeah.
And Anne Margaret and
the other one with, what the hell was that called? I'll come back to it. I can't think of it right now. But
you're doing great, man. Keep going.
I know, right? My brain just stopped on me. Hydrocodone's fun.
Okay, you had a movie review. You went to see Ted 2 last night, Tom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was good.
Thoughts?
I don't know. I mean, it's. Oh, you thought I liked it as much as the last one.
Okay.
The previous one.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. They had a pretty good storyline with it, too. You know, I mean, Ted has to win his civil rights and everything.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, because he's property.
Gotcha. Right. Gotcha. Okay.
They brought the little weird guy, Billy or Danny. What was his name?
Danny or something. The guy who would try to kidnap him.
Giovanni Ribisi.
Yeah.
Sexy dance or whatever.
They give him to do it to get in a ninja outfit, the Ninja Turtle.
Ninja Turtle outfit.
He's doing it, you know.
Yeah. Well, apparently, if Seth MacFarlane does something, Giovanni Ribisi is obligated to have to be in it.
Yeah, he was in the Once Upon a Time, or whatever the West
in the West
was.
Yeah.
It was crap. It was horrible.
What was that called?
Dude, there's one scene in there where they're at the, because of course, before Ted finds out that he has to get, he's property, he still thinks he's a citizen or a person.
Mm, right.
They're at the sperm donor bank, and they're in there with like the room where all the jars are, and next thing you know, what's the actor's
name?
Mark Wahlberg. Ends up one of the racks falling top of their sperm everywhere, right?
Ted's playing with him and he throws a jar at him and it comes undone or hits the floor, they're like, oh shit, they're trying to scoop it up and he's like, so he ends up the whole rack falls on him and
he's covered in sperm, And the girl comes in and of course Ted's taking pictures, hashtagging, hey, sperm donor, and stuff. And then the nurse comes in, she's like, oh my God, this and that, and she goes, he goes, really, sorry. She goes, that's okay.
That's all the reject samples with all the Sickle cell and all the stuff.
So then Ted's like, what would Ted say something about, he goes, oh, how does it feel to be a Kardashian?
Oh, man. Awesome. I want to see it.
No kidding. So you guys watch Family Guy and stuff too?
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, I love Family Guy.
So was there a lot of recycled jokes from Family Guy in that one? Because there was a couple of those.
Not really in this one.
Much?
Was, okay. Yeah,
a little more.
There were a few in the first one.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I'm a big Hootie and the Blowfish fan, so I loved the karaoke scene in
yeah.
the first one. Hey, yeah,
yeah. Well, he does something like that, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Had a little more plot and drama and you know, and everything in this one, you know.
Well, do you know, I read a story this week that he had to rewrite Ted 2.
Really?
Because he had it written, and then Where the Millers came out, and he realized it was the same plot, and so he had to rewrite Ted 2, because it was the same plot about a fake family going down to Mexico to smuggle drugs into the country. That was what it was supposed to be.
Well, dude, it's funny, because I was just going to say that. The whole thing has this throughout the movie about pot. Uh-huh. So I'm like, dude, this reminds me of a Cheech and Chong movie or something, right. You know? Yeah. They find the big field of pot, like the Holy Grail pot, you know, right. And you're like, oh, Cheech and Chong.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. Well, I was in Houston week before last. And I usually bring my laptop into the hotels, but I had to change hotel rooms. So, and I got to the hotel late, and I had an early event the next morning. So it was like, didn't make any sense to bring in my laptop and plug it in. So I figured I'll just watch what's on cable. And this hotel had 12 channels.
Nice.
12.
Man, you're staying at a...
Yeah, the Ritz.
Staying at the Ritz.
So I'm like going...
Mine usually have one local channel. Right. In Spanish only.
So I'm sitting here, and I'm like... Crap, the one night I don't bring my laptop in, I got nothing to watch. So I stumbled upon this movie, and it had Ben Affleck in it, and I'm like, I want to pull up my laptop so I can find out what the hell this movie is, because I'm trying to figure out what movie it is. I had a lot of people in it, Amy Adams, I want to say Mila Jovovich, I don't remember. But anyway, it's a weird movie, man. It's called Gone Girl.
Have you seen Gone Girl?
Yeah.
It's got for Oscars.
Yeah, it got, and what it is Ben Affleck's married to this... he's a successful actor, but he's kind of like lower scale. And he's married to like...
So he plays Ben Affleck.
Yes.
Yeah. He plays himself. Yeah.
And he's married to...
Rosamund Pike is the
actress. And she's like the Jennifer Aniston. I mean, she's the all-American girl that everyone loves in the country. And tabloid fodder and, you know, paparazzi follows her and everything. Well, they're having a rough go in their marriage. So she fakes her death. She goes and moves in with Neil Patrick Harris, who was actually really good in that movie.
Yeah.
But he apparently has had a crush on her his whole life. So she moves in with him, fakes her death, and pins it on Ben Affleck. So now the country's against Ben Affleck because they think he killed America's sweetheart. And he's getting killed in the court of public opinion. And then he finally figures out that she faked it. And
Spoiler alert, by the way.
This is in the fucking credits. This is on the IMDb synopsis. Yeah. Oh, it's just all the fill-in stuff. But weird freaking movie, and it's like, I wouldn't have put up with that for one second. I'd have found out if I'm already being accused of killing her, I'm just going to go fucking kill her anyway, you know?
Exactly. I mean, just make sure you don't have the body show up. Right? Yeah.
Double jeopardy.
Weird movie, though, but it was kind of like, I've texted him. I said, it's kind of like a train wreck. I can't stop watching this. Yeah. But it's good, so watch it. But just know we're going into it. It's a weird movie.
So the one I was talking about that was also like a Bugs Bunny movie was Shoot 'Em Up. With Clive Owen and Paul Giamatti. Mm-hmm. So Clive Owen, like, he's eating carrots in the first scene of the movie. Like,
oh, really?
He kills people with carrots, and he, like, shoves carrot in his eye and stuff. And he's like, what even? So when he sees Paul Giamatti, he's like, what's up, Doc? You know, it's a whole... Like, Paul Giamatti's totally Elmer Fudd. He's totally Bugs Bunny. But it's just, like, blood and violence and boobs. It's great. So if you haven't seen Shoot 'Em Up, check out Shoot 'Em Up.
When we first started, the only sponsor we had... Not that we have any sponsors now, but the one we had then was... Esteban Carreras, and we did this because they had the Chupacabra, so we would do this creature feature review sponsored by Esteban Carreras. And so we watched these crazy, stupid, cheesy, low-budget creature feature movies and review them and had a ball. But he told me about one. Because what would happen is I'd have to find one to let him know about it. He'd watch it and vice versa. And he's like, man, I just watched a live-action Scooby-Doo movie. And I'm like, what? And it was called Saturday Morning Mystery.
Yep.
And it's about... It's literally the people... They're not playing the same night like Daphne and you know, Fred or anything.
But they have the bus. They have a Great Dane dog. There's one guy that's a stoner. There's the other guy that's, you know.
But and it started off being kind of funny and everything. But man, that thing turned dark quick.
Really?
That was a good movie.
Basically, the guy that's supposed to be Shaggy like has a shit ton of acid. And he drops it in. He drops it in the water supply without telling everybody. And everybody's drinking the water. and they're all freaking out, like thinking people are getting killed and shit, but they're tripping balls. But in the meantime, there's really somebody that's running around killing everybody. So it's a fun movie.
Man. It was fun, but man, the last 20 minutes like blew me away. Yeah. Whoa, didn't see that coming. But
wow, dude.
Yeah, if you get a chance, Saturday Morning Mystery, it was actually
we watched some shitty ones though. Wasn't it? The Chupacabra versus Alamo or whatever.
Yes, Eric Estrada. And he's forgotten to ride a motorcycle. He doesn't know how to ride a motorcycle. You can tell they're green screening him.
Every single scene, he's like sitting there like this, just bumping up and down. There's like a bad green screen behind him. Fucking horrible green screen. Yeah.
Part of me misses those days, and part of me is like, thank God we don't have to do
that. That reminds me, was it Bram or whatever that does the Dracula movies, all the vampire movie stuff?
Bram Stoker?
Yeah, Bram Stoker. And then there's the other guy, too, that's like B-rated movies and C-rated movies.
Oh, shit. I know you're talking about.
There's a ton of those, yeah.
Yeah, but it's always doing this.
We did. We went to the Texas Frightmare Fest, and have you ever seen, like, there was a guy that started in the 80s named Charles Band. And he made all these low-budget, just really shitty movies like Puppet Master and Doll Man and all really cheesy stuff. Yeah. He had Full Moon Productions, and this is one of the oddest moments, really awkward moment.
Yeah.
So my daughter was with us. She's 16. We go in to see this the end of this movie. It was Evil Gingerbread Man versus Evil Bong, or Gingerbread Man versus Evil Bong.
Yeah,
so there's a bong that's evil that gets people high and then kills them, and there's this gingerbread man that's like a killer gingerbread guy. So we walk in, and there's a scene when gingerbread man's...
You know they're probably high when they came up with that.
Totally. He totally talks about it. He got up there and talks about it. He's like, everybody smoke a bunch before you watch it. It'll be hilarious. And so we walk in there, and the gingerbread man's like nailing this girl. She's like, you know, totally naked. I'm like, oh, God.
He's got his daughter in there.
He's like, here it is, baby. Here's the cream. He's like, squirts, freaking...
Really bad form.
The funny thing was, I noticed that this guy sat down next to me, you know, during the screening.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, he looks kind of familiar, man. I'm not paying attention to him. Kind of nuts. He goes, that's the guy that wrote and directed the movie. I'm like, oh, cool.
Charles Band.
So when you left, you took your daughter to a hypnotist. So
exactly.
What she saw, right?
Forget the what she saw.
Black thing.
Every time she sees a gingerbread man at Christmas,
Hey, now, get that guy away from me.
But the thing is I've seen Gingerbread Man. It's called Gingerbread Man, I think.
Gingerbread Man, okay.
Yeah. And then I've seen Evil Bong, so it was kind of interesting that they combined the two. Gary Busey was in the first one.
A lot of weed. I'm just kidding.
I don't smoke weed at all. Gary Busey was in the first Gingerbread Man. He was the voice of the Gingerbread Man, yeah.
Gary Busey, that guy's a train wreck, man.
Yes.
How many bike wrecks did he get into before he just totally destroyed himself?
Yeah. Oh, man. Hulu. I was watching a lot of stuff on Hulu. Yeah. And every third commercial on Hulu is this new Gary Busey commercial.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And it's horrible. Have you seen it? With the stick, the Amazon Fire Stick. And he can't talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amazon Fire Stick. It's like, what? Stick?
Yeah. Yeah.
Brain damage.
Yeah.
We need to do a show with him and the Kardashians. That'd be funny.
Oh, God. They should. That'd be something else I wouldn't
watch. Thanks.
Awesome.
You know, it was funny because... When we went to watch Mirror, we're at the Alamo.
Mm-hmm. Alamo Draft House.
Draft House. And they always do those old premiere, old movie premiere stuff, cool. Kind of cool thing. And they were doing Caddyshack.
Nice.
And I read a deal earlier this year about, you know, its rating. Mm-hmm. And because they did like a whole hour or 2 hour editorial on Caddyshack. And they said when it first came out, it was like a star and a half. And over time, it's become a 3.5-star movie now.
Yeah.
Tell you how bad things are today, you know. It just keeps going up. But it is an American classic.
Oh, right. Totally. You
know? And they shot that thing in like 2 weeks or something. I mean, it was like they were...
Yeah.
It was
they actually did it on the golf course. Everybody was staying out there and stuff. And they said that the scene where they blew up the golf course, they said, you know, the people, you know, the guys who owned the course and stuff were like, no, we're not going to allow you to blow up our golf course. And they're like, oh, come on, man. You know, it's our big finale. We have to blow up the golf course. And like, no. They said, okay. So they're hanging out one night with all the actors drinking, getting drunk and getting stoned. And they're like, okay, well, let's take those guys out for lunch. Mm-hmm. So they took the guys from golf course out for lunch, so they still blew up the golf course while they were gone.
Nice.
We were kind of lost it that way.
Right. Then there was like a 747 flying over who felt and heard it and called into the tower and says, are we under attack? You know,
That's awesome. You know, I didn't know until like 5 years ago that Brian Doyle Murray was Bill Murray's brother.
Oh, yeah?
I didn't know that they were brothers.
He's got a bunch of them, man. He had that other one that they tried to make a thing.
I remember that one,
Did the movie in Violations, that one movie that was supposed to be like Bill Murray type thing, and it sucked.
Crazy.
Jeez. So we're talking a little rep talk here, life stuff. What do you typically do on your trips when you're out? I mean, do you actually have time to do anything? Man, are you, you've been doing it for such a long time.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, a lot of guys always, you know, like, oh, let's go, you know, hang out here. Yeah, I'll hang out. You know, I can meet you guys. You know, maybe we're in Houston. We go meet Jorge. So, dude, I'm on the road. I'm up late, you know, hanging out in stores, saying hi to customers, you know, schmoozing people. Dude, and I'm back. And maybe I'll hang out with somebody from a store. You know, you do it. Maybe we'll go out for drinks or whatever. But, yeah, I'm back in the room, up next morning, early, hit the next place.
Yeah.
And for me, I mean, the only place, I'm sure the same for you guys, the only place that you really are stationary than Dallas is Houston.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, everywhere else, you know, it's like another night. You're in a different hotel. You just keep moving.
Yeah.
Know? So.
Have you ever been to the Mark in Houston?
Yeah.
That place is nice, dude.
It is. It's very nice.
He's all bragging because he got invited there. Yeah. I've not been invited yet.
Just pop in, dude. Yeah, don't worry.
Yeah, just call AJ. Hey, AJ, it's Brandon with AJ Fernandez. I want to, and he'll let you in.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, we'll tell Michelle.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Michelle will hook you up over there.
Cool. Yeah, good food. You know, good people there. It's a really beautiful place.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the money is just ridiculous. You got to go. Well, you remember Jonathan from Cigar Cigar.
Yeah,
he's one of the partners, kind of doing that thing at the Mark.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I've kind of, once I'm done with the my calls for the day, I want to just get back to the hotel. I'm not.
There are times, I'm the same way. I'll just
certain reps, like if you called me and say, "Let's grab a drink," I'd do that. You know, a couple other reps, I would do that for. But for the most part, I'm like, get back to my room, man.
We were talking about this too. You never get to enjoy the hotel rooms because you're there so late. At the end of the day, you get up in the morning, you're off the next place. Mm-hmm. That's it. I mean,
Yeah.
The one time I brought, brought my swim trunks and went to Houston this last week. You know what? I'm going to go swimming because there's a lot of nice hotels. Might have a pool. Freaking pool was, like, empty. Like, oh, it's not going to be filled to the 4th of July. I'm like, you dicks. Like,
yeah, you know, and, dude, and it's funny because, you know, you're in the store selling. Mm. Some stores have Fox News. A lot of them have sports on or whatever, right? So I don't even know what's going on with, you know, today's media most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even when I'm in the room, I'm like, dude, I don't want to get depressed. So I'm popping on Family Guy or American Dad and, some crap or some movie. You know.
Pawn Stars or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And I'm just like, okay, just because I want to chill.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to sit there and think about all these other problems because I got enough problems of my own. I want to think about the world's problems too.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Right.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
So.
But, man, I know reps that stay out till midnight and 1 o'clock and want to party, and it's like, man, I can't do that.
Oh, yeah.
One, I'm too old for it, and two.
Yeah. Oh, it's fun when you're first starting out, but year after year after year.
Yeah. Well, that's on my nickel, too, so that's
exactly.
Just as well, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. So, geez.
Yeah.
But it is funny that Jorge's does seem to be the gravitating place that people...
Well, Jorge, and now I think, you know, Renegade here in Dallas becomes a gravitating place. It was really cool because, you know, I did an event not yesterday, sorry, but a week ago, Randy came up for it and hung out with me and John and said, well, they're just BS and having a good time.
Yeah.
You know, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
Well, Calypso's my place to come to smoke when I'm in town because I've got so much history here. He's closed on Sundays, so usually Renegade's where I go on Sundays. Is the
Brandon's always very hospitable. He's like the Jorge of Dallas, you know.
Yeah. And he told me that's what he's trying to become, too. Yeah. He really wants to be that.
Not a bad thing to be.
He needs
a much bigger humidor, though.
If you could be the Jorge of Hoboken, that's a good thing to be.
He said that to us. He's like, I want to be Jorge. What do I got to do?
Well, you got to gain a lot of weight. You got to have some medical issues.
And you got to have a billionaire partner.
Years and years to build yourself up. No, I want to do it now. I was like, I don't know what to tell you.
Exactly. Good luck.
Can't rush into that, buddy.
Yeah, cool thing. You know, Elliot, they're with this. His Dallas location, nowhere else. He's taking over the space next door.
No. They
I heard they next it. They next it.
That's too bad. That's too bad. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was 2 days ago. he was going
to. That's how fast things change in here. Yeah, that's how fast things change in the industry.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well,
is Elliot back in town? I haven't talked to him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's been back.
All right.
Yeah, that's another story off the camera. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. All right.
Yeah. Bob and I didn't see eye to eye this past week. So.
Yeah, I definitely want to go to that story.
That's not unheard of.
Yeah.
How often does Bob see eye to eye with anybody?
Yeah, other than Padron. You know,
exactly.
Seriously, dude. I mean, and I was telling Ellie, I'm like, going, you know, you give the rest of us, all the reps, such a hard time about what you want from the companies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that understandable, that's business. But damn, dude, Padron doesn't give you a shit.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, dude, you do an event, and they go, okay, we'll send you ashtrays and hats. And they charge you for them.
Yeah.
Really?
And you don't have a rep to come visit you and hang out with you, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and all of us have to take abuse? Is it just because you're mad at Padron? I mean, dude, take it out with them. Take it out with them and take it out with Bob, not with me.
Yeah, right.
Damn.
Well, so kudos, buddies.
Thanks, well, thank you.
This is great, good stuff.
Yeah, very good. I was burning my fingers on the end.
We plugged us and our companies. What do you guys have coming out new for the show?
I've got a new cigar called the Enclave that will be released at the show. A little more expensive than the New World, but not much. It's going to be in that $6.50 to $7 range. Mm. It's a Criollo 98 wrapper.
Oh, cool.
It's first AJ Criollo. He's never done Criollo before.
That would be cool.
So it's a nice wrapper.
Yeah,
sure.
Because he gets a lot of his wrapper, we know, from Oliva, and they've got some great stuff. Like that Habano wrapper that AJ gets, that's what we're using.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, beginning of the year, we found out Davidoff bought 70,000 pounds with that wrapper from Oliva.
Wow.
That's how good that stuff is.
Yeah, they're doing something with it.
Yeah, we're all getting to use some of that. But
nice.
What do you guys got coming out?
We have a Sun Grown coming out in our Grand Reserve line. We've got another size in our 10th anniversary, and then we've got a new one, the Connecticut Grand Valley Reserve, that's coming out too as well.
Really? Connecticut?
Yeah, a lot of Connecticut's coming out.
Yeah.
Well, dude, you know, it's funny. You know, 5, 6, 8 years ago, everybody was getting away from Connecticut's.
Mm-hmm.
But, dude, that was still the backbone to the industry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when Jay and I, you know, 3 years ago when we did the Connecticut, it's like, dude, we're going to do Connecticut. Jay's like, why? We don't smoke Connecticut. I go, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Mm. Nobody's doing good enough Connecticut yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now everybody's starting to catch on to that and noticing, hey, you know, this is truly the backbone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And a lot of guys trying to do international business. What do they smoke internationally?
Connecticut. You want to know something I found out? This year, Davidoff has two shades of Connecticut. If you look at the stores, it's a dark shade. And if you go to, like, the humidor up there in Wichita, they've got both shades. They got the light one and the dark one. Yeah, because when they first got their account, it was all light. And then all of a sudden, the darks just start showing up. They go, what's the deal? They said, well, we're saving the light shade for, again, the European market. That's what made me think about that. And the dark shade comes for the U.S. market.
Interesting.
Mm. Yeah.
I have to try both side to side and see what they...
Yeah, if there's any difference.
I think I've only had the darker Connecticut.
Yeah.
Only that enough I've had.
Yeah, because that's what they've been doing, I guess, the last... three or four years they've been using the U.S. market, just a dark shade.
Huh.
Yeah. We're also going to be doing our new 17th and a quarter anniversary cigar.
Yeah.
17th and a quarter.
we just figured if Rocky gets to do all those anniversaries.
There you go. Yeah. 17th and a quarter.
We can do one too. So. Right. Yeah.
But true is that is true. We are doing a, I'll have to get you guys some of that.
Yeah.
You know, Acme Limitada.
Okay.
Okay. And that
made by Swisher.
this was a really, really cool find for us.
You told me a little bit about this, so tell that story.
Yeah, the deal was, you know, while we were at the factory last April, you know, we went and looked through the cold storage to see what they had. You know, like I said, because they're second oldest factory.
Yeah.
And obviously, they'll make stuff that they, you know, people didn't buy, or they made because they'll make extras.
Mm.
And we found this 4.25x44 ring gauge, little kind of a petite Corona, and it's 6-7 years old, and it's fantastic. It turns out it was the very first production Siglo.
The original
first production was done at this factory.
The good ones,
right? Yeah. Right, exactly. You know, that's what
everybody. Yeah.
Right, and everybody kept going. You know, I remember after a year because all the Siglo changed, and I'm like, why would Alta just change the blend?
Yeah.
Well, that's why, because they moved it from NATSA. To their factory.
Mm.
So they didn't pick up the whole production. They left these Coronas.
Mm.
So we bought them all. And that's going to come out late October, beginning of November. 12 counts. And they'll retail for $7 a stick. And they'll be called Acme Limitada, meaning a true limited deal. You can't do it again.
Mm. Yeah. That's cool.
Right,
I like your limited. You're actually limited. When you,
right,
that's it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's the way it should be.
Dude, how many times have we seen that?
Not limited for this month. And then
exactly.
For next month.
Well, how many times have we seen Party Guest 150? Oh, we're out of that tobacco. Oh, we just found some. Let's make it again, guys. You know, right. Like, really? Come on.
How many times has the La Aurora C and Años been re-released?
Oh, good God. That's another one. Yes.
Yeah. You don't lose tobacco. I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah.
And that's your cash cow. You don't freaking lose tobacco. You know it's there.
Right. Exactly. Somebody else didn't just buy it and never bought it back. No.
It's not like you can regrow it or anything. Oh, wait, you can.
Yeah, but
it's not the original.
It's not the original.
Yeah.
But that's what they're doing, though, is that they regrow it and then tell you that's when, oh, we found it. No, you didn't. You just regrew it.
You regrew it. Exactly. Exactly. No, that's why I was telling everybody. That's why I'm, you know, that's one of the things Pete and I have always talked about was the thing that kind of upset us. In the industry, there's no real definition to the terms.
Yeah.
You know, like in the wine business, if you call yourself a reserve, you have to do certain things. You know, if you're a champagne, you got to be grown in the Champagne region in France, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, like, okay, what's a real reserve in the cigar industry? I mean, good gosh.
A secondary band?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, remember when Viaje had like Reserve, Limited, blah, blah, blah? They had four bands on one cigar?
Yeah.
I think it was a joke that, seriously, dude?
Yeah, really.
You know? So that's why I want to do a true Limitada and say, hey, this is what's supposed to be a Limitada.
That'll be cool.
All right, yeah. So for those of you in the industry watching the show, where is your booth at the show so they can go see you guys?
We start at booth number 12225 through 12229.
Yeah.
All right.
And directly across
from the show. I have no idea. I haven't looked.
All right. So
you got to remember, I've never gone to the show before, so I'm still learning the things I'm supposed to know.
Our booth, the PDR booth is 15019, and the AJ Fernandez booth doesn't come up. There it is. 11613.
11613. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So
come say hi to us.
Exactly. That's just what you just said, Ron.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
So I was right. That's what I thought. I just wanted to see if you knew what it was.
Yeah, okay.
Now, where are you guys staying? Y'all, because we're staying at the Hilton Riverside.
Omni.
No idea.
Staying at the Omni?
Yeah.
Okay.
They told me. I don't know. I don't know.
I didn't have to book my rooms this time. They booked them for me, so it was like, cool.
All I know is I'm sharing a room, so that guy's not going to get a lot.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I hope I'm not.
I snore like a motherfucker. Yeah, so
I hope I'm not sharing a room.
So everybody who wants to show up to the Hilton Riverside, drinks are on Tom.
There you go.
Yes. Well, first drink's on me. First drink. I'll buy the first drink. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So, let's try to get 3,000 people there, please.
Exactly. That's great. Well, guys, thanks so much for coming on and letting us try this and be among the first to review this. This is nice. Yeah. Are we the first review?
Yes, you are.
Nice. Excellent. We beat halfway on.
Yes.
I'm checking.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Sorry, Chucky. They beat you.
They beat us all the time, so it's time for us to win. Every now and
right, right. All right, Randy. Well, where can they find us?
iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podcastland, Podomatic, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Mm-hmm. Man, I got it right for the first time in about four episodes.
Wow, dude, that's a big one.
And my Twitter handle is at Captain Funky Pants. At Captain Funky Pants.
I'm at Randy Rankin 43. You guys have Twitter and
Twitter at AKA Cigars and Instagram at AKA J Lundy.
Right. I'm AJF Randy
and PDR_Brandon on the old Instagram.
There you go.
Yep, and so. Acme is at Acme_Cigars.
Cool.
Okay,
cool.
On Instagram?
On Instagram Twitter.
And Twitter. Okay, good deal.
Excellent. So, as always, guys, it's been great smoking with you.
See you later, fellas.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
see you later, guys.
See you guys.